Hello, welcome to the Berkman Center. We're going to have a brief conversation about Enterprise 2.0 and in particular, Enterprise 2.0 and how it looks in Germany. I'm David Weinberger. I'm a fellow at the center. I'm here with Persephone Miehl, also a fellow.
Yes.
And Tina Kulo, who is a communications person working with Core Media, and Wilms Buse from Core Media also, who's a marketing guy there. But more relevantly to this is the editor of a book, which we happen to have right here.
Oh, excellent.
Which is Enterprise 2.0, The Art of Letting Go.
Correct.
Available in German, where it's known as...
Die Kunst loszulassen.
So you're in town for the Enterprise 2.0 conference here in Boston. Mm-hmm. You were there this morning. How's it going?
Pretty well. A lot of attendees, I would guess, roughly 1,200. And interesting keynotes with a special focus on American companies. So that's why we're very happy to talk about how it's actually looking in Europe.
And much news coming out of the conference at this point?
I have to say, compared to the year before, I think it was less news. It's more that Enterprise 2.0 is now becoming a reality within companies. So less technology innovations, I'd say, except for especially the topic on Enterprise 2.0 and in the cloud. That's probably the technology part that was treated as a big topic. But everything else was what we've seen so far on implementing and using Enterprise 2.0, for example, at the CIA or at FedEx.
So what do you take Enterprise 2.0 to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think on the one hand, there's the more technical-oriented definition for the Web 2.0 tools within the company. From our perspective, and that's also why we looked at it as a more management book, I think it has a lot to do with corporate culture. So in the end, we believe Enterprise 2.0 is about taking down barriers within the enterprise and also around the enterprise, so bringing people together to communicate and to collaborate.
So do you peg this to the availability of a particular tool set, a type of tool that's made it possible to take down the barriers? Is that the gating factor here?
Exactly, especially the usage of the tools. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, should we use a wiki, should we use a blog, but in the end it's about how can I integrate these tools in my corporate culture and in my to solve my daily problems.
So if it's about overcoming or changing a corporate culture, mm-hmm. what differences do you see between the American and the German corporate cultures that Enterprise 2.0 is going to change?
That's a dangerous question now for me.
Why is that a dangerous question?
Well, first of all, I don't know American companies well enough. And it's very hard to generalize because each company has a different corporate culture. But if you look probably from an... there are some proof points that, for example, in Germany, the uptake for Enterprise 2.0 is rather high. So if you take, for example, Confluence has found that Germany is their second biggest country after the U.S. So there's a lot of usage for wikis, for example. And it's probably because that Germans enjoy more the idea of sharing information. You know, for example, open source is very big in Germany as well. And so this tends me to believe, without scientific proof, that Germans in corporations tend to be more willing to share information. I can't compare this, though, with the U.S. But, for example, comparing it with other countries in Europe, like, for example, with Spain, for example, it's definitely different.
Mm-hmm. Are there some enterprises, some industries that are more likely to be moving in the 2.0 direction? In Germany or in Europe?
We would say the knowledge intense companies are the ones who are picking up very, very quickly on that. So where it's all about getting information, sharing information, so we can see that more than the traditional, let's say, the more traditional in industrial area. So, and they have, mm-hmm. but you know, to be quite honest, I think they struggle all with the same. This morning there was also I think AIIM, they presented a study about Enterprise 2.0 in the States, actually. And they had some key findings. And we did a study last September in Germany about how companies see Enterprise 2.0. And they had the same findings. So the uptake is rather small. Not everybody knows what is Enterprise 2.0, and it's really hard to put, you know, the finger on it and say, okay, that's it. So I think then again, in the States and in Germany, the companies have the same struggle with it.
Mm-hmm. What about media companies, which happens to be my particular focus, which in theory are the most knowledge-intensive industries of all,
right.
since
yeah.
all they do
yeah.
is
exactly.
manage knowledge, and yet in this country, at least, they're not necessarily the most active in Enterprise 2.0. Is that different in Germany?
That's true. We actually had interesting discussions, for example, with journalists. And for them, sharing knowledge is not that huge of a help for their daily business, because they tend to write a story within few days, or, you know, at most within few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So building up peers and colleagues to contribute to that story doesn't really happen, so they don't really see a case for that. Nevertheless, I can see, I used to work for Bertelsmann, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They have way more than 300 different profit centers. So I can see taking down the walls between those profit centers and share more knowledge, for example, on what are the trends on market intelligence. I can see certainly a lot of value in that.
Well, there's there are activities beyond the heads-down writing of the story. I'm on deadline. That you would think a media company would care about, such
mm-hmm.
as reuse.
Exactly.
You have a commons, so to speak, and it's maybe
right.
an internal commons, because heaven forbid it might actually uh-huh. be accessible by readers as well. But if you had an internal commons, presumably that would speed the make it easier for authors to reporters to write quickly and well.
And the research, yeah.
But
yeah.
if they're only focused on the act of writing, then mm-hmm. they may be missing out on
yeah,
some of what
exactly.
These tools can do for
agreed.
Them.
Agreed.
So.
Yeah.
I had a really just, you know, in this terms of working process, it would be so much easier if they get feedback on their story immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it like, I mean, just imagine, they still do it. You write an article, and there's five instances looking at the article and can change it. Five for a weekly in Germany today.
Mm-hmm.
So editor writes the article, and then you have, like, the different proofs, documentation, the editor-in-chief, the editor of whatever, and then, you know, the five people. So I think
and only five. You're not saying,
oh, yeah, right.
My goodness, five
right,
people
right,
get it.
Yeah.
Out of all the people who might have an interest in this, might
exactly,
be able to contribute.
Yeah, contribute right.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one of them is a copy editor who's paying attention to a sort of non-semantic
yeah.
level
mm-hmm.
of,
yeah.
well, the copy editors.
Anyways, similar things apply to sort of the corporate publishing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you publish whatever handbooks on certain use cases or on guidelines for an insurance company,
yeah.
it's exactly the same thing, right? They document it once and they keep it there for 5 years, and then they probably do a revision.
Mm-hmm.
So we're currently working with a customer to improve this process so that during these 5 years you can already add a lot of comments. You have an editor who then almost on the fly can say, yes, that's actually correct, let's insert it already. So there's, I think there's amazing innovation and speed and dynamic companies can gain from this.
There's actually one more media aspect maybe might be interesting, not coming only from print, but also for the TV stations. I think Enterprise 2.0 the outer circle of it, they realize it really fast. Coming of the reuse of the content, you know, all the things of streaming,
mm-hmm.
TV, you know, TV series on demand, you know. So Germany is currently, I mean, they have like two big public broadcasting stations, and they do like, they have now opened up their complete archive, so you can watch, you know, like if you have forgotten about, you know, to tape or whatever, or ITV or whatever on your Mac, let's say a crime series, you can just watch it very easily, you know, just 7 days after. So that's a good thing. So that might be interesting. And this
mm-hmm.
this is changing how they perceive distribution and everything, and it comes to thinking of Enterprise 2.0 in a very side.
I want to ask what is I'm going to ask a cultural question, and you can just slap me down. many German companies have been perceived as being more hierarchically structured than American counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
That the hierarchy is more visible and more enforced.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, we have the open source sort of community that's eager to share, which is what you pointed to, and is eager for Enterprise 2.0. If the hierarchical stereotype is correct, and this is where you get to slap me down, how does that affect the adoption of Enterprise 2.0 in Germany as opposed to, say, here?
Actually, I wouldn't slap you down.
Go ahead.
I think your observation is correct that indeed there are more hierarchies and more enforced hierarchies than compared to the US, I guess. What does it mean for enterprises? I think it's there are two interesting starting points to start with Enterprise 2.0 within large corporations, especially hierarchical corporations, which is on the one hand the digital natives, who now the internet generation that enters the companies, and they have a completely different attitude to how they use the internet, how they collaborate, how they use information, how they share information. That on the one hand. And on the other hand, you have the top management, the executives who are responsible for the results of the company, and who are responsible for the culture. I'm not saying that they're keen on taking away all the hierarchy, but they definitely are keen on increasing transparency and increasing speed and innovation and quality for the company. So for them, it's an interesting way of receiving bottom-up information that haven't been aggregated all across the hierarchies. So for them, it's an interesting way of receiving information between the different departments. So I think the middle management that is in between really needs to change its attitude more to become coaches rather than sort of I'm head of a department.
Receiving information and desiring to receive information does soften the way for the Enterprise 2.0 tools and cultural change, the letting go. But being willing to receive information is different than being willing to participate and to share oneself.
So absolutely.
As the digital natives colonize the corporation, are the upper levels of management learning to share, or are they just simply their passive recipients instead?
Yeah, asking the assistant, can you print me the intranet, right?
Yeah.
Actually, that's a huge issue that they're not part of this culture, and they have very little time in participating and trying it out and learning. So there's in Germany the so-called IT-Gipfel, which is an initiative from our Chancellor Angela Merkel, and
the IT summit.
It's sort of an IT summit, yes, correct. It's in November, and in preparation for that, we will try to bring together digital natives together with top management at an open space workshop in order to make them learn from each
hilarious.
Other.
This will be hilarious. This is like a sitcom waiting to happen.
We're really looking forward to it. So we're now planning, and we're gathering videos now from digital natives. We really want to see what can we learn from the digital natives as a top management in large corporations in Germany, and vice versa. Yeah. What can digital natives also learn from the top management when they want to start in the enterprise?
This will be very interesting to see how exactly how far the gap is.
Mm-hmm. It's my fun project for the next month.
But I think the good news is, just imagine about 2 years ago, just an idea like that would just be completely impossible. Just to say it and to
and
organize
it. It would be impossible. Why and what?
What has
changed?
I think what we have seen in the past 12 months is an enormous uptake on the issue of Enterprise 2.0, or in German Unternehmen 2.0. Like last year when we were here for our first time at the Enterprise 2.0 conference, and we came back and we were like, oh my God, you know, this is really cool, and Enterprise, it's coming. And I mean, of course, people were staring at us. What do you think? I mean, we're not going to stop. We're not going to, you know, turn down our departments. Of course not. I'm still the boss. So, you know, what are you talking about? Transparency and all that. But it's coming, and it's coming from all different levels. It's coming from the economy, of course. It's coming from the digital natives, but it's also coming from organizations like Verbände. I'm missing the word
Associations,
you know, for all the IT companies in Germany who are now pushing that. You know, there are studies coming. So it's slowly but steadily, even the very traditional business media is now slowly using the word Enterprise 2.0 or realize that there's a change going on.
Mm-hmm. And compared to the US, Enterprise 2.0 is already a word in Wikipedia in German.
Oh.
I think it hasn't made it to Wikipedia in the US yet.
Really?
Oh, it keeps on being deleted, and
this is actually we were talking earlier about the really cool presentation. We have to say this. Have a look at enterpriseconference.com, whatever, and see the presentation from the two guys from CIA. The one thing he said was, you know, Wikipedia.com has no Enterprise 2.0 entry. So he said that. Yeah, we have to look it up.
Okay.
It probably does by now. Yeah, if that were the case, probably does by now. It's probably been revised 30 times.
by it's going through like an iterative process. So. Yeah.
To what extent is the Enterprise 2.0 stuff not just in management but also in relationships to customers? Is that a big part of it, or is that a secondary effect? What's your impression of that?
It's a very important part because there are studies, like for example from IBM, that most of their innovations, I think like 70%, are coming from customers and business partners. Mm-hmm. So again, taking down the barriers also to your customers and make people talk to each other is highly relevant. And so for example, if you want to change something at your Mercedes, how long does it take until this information arrives at the engineer who can actually change it? That takes a while. So Enterprise 2.0 would allow it to have almost a direct conversation between the engineer and the customer. And that, again, speeds up innovation.
For the current situation, it might be interesting. You know, some of the things happening probably here as well, and they don't have the label Enterprise 2.0, but they count into it. Like we had, like just to give you an example, we have a big food chain. Whole Foods, but truly organic completely. So what happened was that they need money to expand, and they took money from the company who has like the stores with the lowest lowest salaries, really cheap stuff. So then they're like really the bad guys, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So they took the money from them in order to expand. So what happened is that the customers banned the whole thing. They left notes. They said, mm-hmm. we're not going to buy here before you not get this investor out. So mm-hmm. the investor's out now. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that happen. I think they happen here as well. So.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Good luck with the book. I should say, by way of disclosure, I actually have a chapter in this book, a non-remunerated chapter, but it's just.
Do you have any idea what it says?
Yes, I wrote it
in German.
Oh, in German? I have no idea. But
I think the English title is.
It doesn't matter.
I think the German title is Kontrolle als Risiko.
It means control as risk.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate
that's what it was in English also.
And we really appreciate you having an article in the book.
Sure. Thank you for that. So good luck with the book. Tina Kulo, Willem Booth.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, David.